spring has sprung. It's wonderful, isn't it? And again, we had such a great day yesterday. And it was particularly encouraging to see the older and the younger working together, serving together. It was a very special time, a great time. And we appreciate spring, I think, because we've just come through winter. Who likes winter? Six. I won't ask who likes summer. But we come through winter, although winters in Queensland are not dreadfully cold and long and dreary, dark days as in some other places around the world and even in Australia. However, spring has sprung. We celebrate life and growth and warmth. I can't really imagine how extraordinary it must have been for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. God had declared that it was good, and it must have been good. So, so good. Not a weed, nor a thistle. Not even a prickle. How good. Ideal growing conditions. Consider that. And fruit and vegetables just laid on. Dragon fruit. Who likes dragon fruit? Lychees. Now that's a different question. Strawberries, pineapple, pomegranate, passion fruit. Gee, a bunch of those start with P. It all spoilt by the passion for pride and equality with God. All of it was spoiled. And so the glory of the garden was forfeited for a life of hard labour, whereby mankind no longer walked with God the Creator. The land was cursed, and they were banished from the garden, and by the sweat of their brow they would eat their food. Summer, autumn, winter, and spring would now be realised in full force. For us now, the seasons also remind us that winter doesn't last forever, does it? Winter doesn't last forever. For even in the midst of winter, there is hope. Derek Geldhart wrote about the transition from the winter of the soul into light and life and hope. And he said, "The dark night of the soul cannot overcome the light of our very best friend Jesus, who, having carried us in our darkest, most painful moments, now invites the afflicted to stand in the whirlwind of tribulation and then to dance. To dance with him in the newness of life and blessing. The moment that his hand touches ours and he says to the storm, 'Be still,' the sun shines. Spring has come." And this is the hope. This is the kind of hope that Isaiah holds for the Hebrew people, based upon the love, compassion, grace and mercy of our wonderful God. And although Israel were suffering, new life was assured. There is wholeness and healing coming from the Lord. You see, as Isaiah wrote these words in chapter 35, the northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen to the Assyrian Empire, and the southern kingdom was under immense threat, whilst also being governed by less than godly kings. And so both politically and spiritually, the nation was in this like desert wasteland. It was winter. Winter for the Hebrew people. It was a period, however, where Isaiah holds hope, holds on to hope for spring that is yet to come. Thus he writes, "The desert and the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus, it will burst into bloom, it will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendour of Carmel and Sharon. And they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendour of our God." So strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. In Israel, the summer months are hot and dry, and there's little rainfall. It's similar to Victoria or South Australia. Israel was cool, and the rain would come in the winter. And for Israel right now, their winter is not that far away in the Northern Hemisphere. The winter is soon to come. Crocus are among the first flowers to bloom in Israel. They appear with or just before the first heavy rains of their winter. And so you can imagine in Israel right now, crocus beginning to appear. And so Isaiah begins by stating that the desert-like experience that the people are enduring will give way to a time of rejoicing as they flourish in the springtime of God's presence and power. For it is then that they will experience the glory of God, the splendor of the Lord, who transforms deadness into life. You see, Isaiah has faith that God will come to rescue his people just as he has in the past. And so he calls on the people to renew their faith in God, to strengthen their feeble hands, to steady their knees that give way, and to put away fear. Rather, trust God, and as a result, they would see the splendor of God and glorify him. As the Lord had said to Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive them and heal their land. God's promise to his people, his promises to his people never falter, never fail. They still apply today. As we turn to him in humility, he transforms our lives. And although the people were oppressed, Isaiah declares that they will see new life coming from the hand of the Lord. Verses 5 to 7 of chapter 35. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. What looks so desolate, so dead, so lifeless, will be transformed, totally transformed. Many of the Hebrew people had forgotten the Lord. And they were living in a world that was oppressed, a world that was also opposed to God and his people. And although many of them were feeble, were fearful, in a sense they were like blind people or deaf people, they too would be transformed into people who would leap for joy, singing joyfully. Not only would God transform the people, but he would transform the land. Where there was once desolate wilderness, there would be streams of water, bubbling springs, pools where reeds and papyrus grow. In other words, the Lord would bring prosperity. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Both the people and the land would be transformed as his people would humble themselves and pray. Seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. Then they would be blessed. It would be just as if spring had sprung. Now, we live in the springtime of God's blessing. Spring has sprung for us. And as I look around me at Toowoomba North, I see that spring has sprung. Spring, life, love, laughter. There's so much of it happening yesterday. Have you noticed how many young people have been up here reading and leading over the last few months? Some for the very first time, willingly and joyfully. Our youth, our young adults and our kids programs are so well attended and served by healthy leadership. There are new folk coming to our services. And again, what a team that was involved yesterday. So many people involved in our spring blessings. We have a growing impact through our ministry into the markets, the PCYC markets. And Kate, who's preparing for missionary work in the Middle East, it's all evidence that God is present and he is at work. Praise God. Springtime blessings. When God truly reigns, there is life. Life in abundance. And God's presence continues to transform both us and our world. And in doing so, he equips us for the journey which is ahead. God is equipping us for next steps. Our eyes see, our ears hear, we leap and we shout for joy as we dance down the highway. This is what comes out in verses 8 to 10. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee forever. Flee away. Don't we all long to see that? Well, it's available to us. We walk in such a place as this, a highway. It's, you could almost describe it as a gorgeous garden. A beautiful garden is a vibrant sanctuary filled with colourful flowers, the sweet scent of blossoms and the port wine magnolia. How many of you got a port wine magnolia at home? Aren't they stunning at the moment? They're flowering. They're beautiful. The gentle hum of insects, creating a feast for the senses. Sunlight filters through lush foliage, casting dappled shadows on neatly kept plants, whilst the murmur of a water feature, perhaps you've got a water feature, or caroling birds adds a calming soundtrack to the scene. And you start to picture it. This meticulously cultivated space is a peaceful haven, a harmonious blend of colour, fragrance, a life that brings a sense of joy and tranquility. That analogy depicts the spiritual walk that Isaiah describes. In the midst of the wilderness, there's a highway, which is for the people of God who walk toward glory of eternity. It's called the Way of Holiness. And it's reserved for those who walk in holiness. This highway is like a raised causeway that sets us apart as the children of God. And it's a pathway of access where there is no danger, no lion or ravenous beast. For although the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, we're able to resist him. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do just as Jesus did when he was confronted by the devil in the wilderness. The unclean do not walk upon this highway, neither does Satan. Motia says, The Lord never reduces his standards to match the weaknesses of his people. He raises his people to the height of his standards, to holiness. And so we are declared righteous and given the Holy Spirit, and we walk in holiness. For the Holy Spirit works righteousness into our lives through the process of sanctification. Can you picture yourself walking on this highway? It's called the way of holiness, where the unclean or the foolish cannot walk, where there is no lion or ravenous beast, for they cannot be found there. We are under such provision and protection by the Lord, embraced by his grace and mercy. We're walking on this highway. Paul wrote, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Isaiah declares, "Only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." It's amazing. Astonishing. Everlasting gladness and joy await us, await those who complete their journey into Zion. Isaiah wanted the people of God to have great hope that they would experience indescribable joy at the end of their earthly journey and enter into the new city. Those declared righteous rejoice in the hope of glory, where all sadness, fear, and tears will be driven away forever. There, God's people will be set free from their own sins and the sins of others. There, they will be returned to God's image, restored to God's image, being Christ-like, and will be fully at home with God. Their lifelong struggle with sorrow and sighing will be ended, and everlasting joy will overflow their minds. You're looking forward to that day? The ransomed of the Lord will have everlasting joy, will rejoice that he has saved them from destruction and brought them into peace and prosperity, from darkness into light, from death to life, eternal. Spring has sprung, but the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for God's people. And so as we close this morning, what is your response? Adoration and praise for the Lord's untold blessings? Or perhaps anxiety, as you don't know what your future holds because you've not put your faith and your life into Jesus' hands? Just want to take a moment now. Just let's take a few minutes in quiet prayer. Just close your eyes and either praise God or ask Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour. Let's take a few moments in prayer.